This is Christopher Carter.
My name is Lolita Ritmanis.
And this is Michael McQuestion.
And we are the Dynamic Music Partners.
And you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
Hello and welcome to the GeekCast Radio Network's interview of three very awesome composers. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and after only 8 short months, I get to have yet another conversation with the Dynamic Music Partners. I told you they'd be back. I just didn't think it would be this soon, because last time there was a 10-year gap. However, Batman Beyond Volume 2, which features 98 tracks, is on every digital audio platform now. It came out September 20th of this year. So we have Christopher Carter. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, Mike. Thanks for having us back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have Alita Ritmanis. How are you, ma'am?
I'm excellent, Mike. Great to be with you today.
Absolutely. And Michael McQuestion. Hello, sir.
From one Michael to another, hello.
That's right.
Glad to be back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Today we'll be specifically celebrating 25th anniversary of Batman Beyond by talking about the Volume 2 release of the score. And starting off, I mentioned this off air that I did a count on this. The first volume had essentially music from all 13 episodes of the first season of the show, and Volume 2 has a selection of episodes from specifically season 2, which I like. I like that the first volume had practically almost everything you could want from all 13 episodes, and then this one has a little bit here, a little bit there. My first question is, though, why didn't this volume 2 start out with the main title? What was that about? It just goes right into Splicers, into the music from Splicers.
Well, we released the main title on Volume 1, and it actually gets confusing when you're talking about like streaming services to copy music over again. So we just wanted to, you know, let the first volume celebrate the opening of the show, and that's, you know, that's why now that we're sitting comfortably, we can begin with the new story, which is the selection of episodes from Season 2. And I just wanted to say that, you know, when you describe Volume 1 as being everything you could want from Season 1, even though this is a selection of episodes, it's everything you could want from the selection of episodes.
Yes, it is. I agree. I'm sorry. I'm bowing down. I am not worthy. My biggest thing was, even though I saw this was 98 tracks, I was like, wait, but like some of my favorite episodes weren't in this yet. And I was like, okay, I'm looking at my Blu-ray paper here, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna do that eventually. I know they're gonna do that eventually. Okay, April Moon, got it. Egg Baby, got it. Century of the Last Cosmos, which won the Emmy, got it. But we need it, so give it to us, please.
appetite for tracks. We love it.
Well, 95 tracks blew my socks off last year, and when the volume 2, I'm like, oh my God, how can I listen to 98? I mean, I can and I have over and over and over again. Like, literally, this score just plays. Like, it just goes. And I can always tell which, like, literally in my head, because Batman Beyond is in my blood. I can tell, I don't even have to look at the track listing. I know which song is which from which episode, because that's just how my brain works.
Well, that's cool, Mike, because awesome. It's like being a kid when I was little, sometimes I'd listen to these albums that were just, you know, they were original scores. And yeah, I not only played the original movie in my head, but I would make up my own movie with those characters. So yep. I mean, I think it's kind of fun. I mean, the music was originally written to a specific episode and to a specific scene, as we do with 99.9% of what we do. We don't just, you know, needle drop our music into scenes. We are actually scoring each episode, each scene. But I mean, for us too, going through the archives of all of this music, it brings back not only memories of how talented the filmmakers of this show were. I mean, just art direction, writing, producing. But also it takes us back to where we were when we were in the depths of the studio production of all this, and when there was, you know, there was incredible guitar players on these dates, and we'd have a lot of time and budget to mix them right. So it's a pretty exciting thing for us to finally be able to get the permission to release this. So
absolutely. All right. So we talked a little bit about the process. Did you all, when picking the selection of episodes, did you all each say, hey, I want to do this one, or I want to do, like, I want this episode of mine to be on here, or how did that go?
Well, I think we tried to make sure that each of us was represented on the soundtrack. So we wanted to make sure that we had, you know, a good selection of music from each of the three of us. And we wanted to kind of keep it in the general area of season two, like you noticed. And then we wanted to give a good variety of music to listen to, too. So I think, you know, we used all those criteria. And in addition to what we could put our hands on quickly to get, you know, volume two out. And we're thrilled that the response has been so positive to the first soundtrack, and we were just like, well, this is great, people really want this, and it really gave us a lot of fuel to put together volume two. We really appreciate everyone who's been listening and buying and just revisiting this music. It's so gratifying.
Absolutely. Anybody else want to say anything, or you want me to move on?
I will chime in this, that I cannot reveal our source, but we have somebody in our lives who literally knows every piece of music and how it fits with scenes. Now, maybe Mike, you also are in that category, but we definitely rely on our secret advisor, who he or she or it or they might be, you know, might have superpowers of their own, as far as just being able to kind of peer into the looking glass of the future as to what, you know, what to release when and how. So we have to give a huge shout out to someone that's been helping us with this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the ghost of Robert Vance. It's a lost soul. and the funny thing for me is, like, literally before, I don't know, we had this plan to do this, I don't know, a week or so ago, whatever it was. But as far as, like, planning to do the interview, I watched all the episodes from the score release, because I mentioned this last time, I'm the type of person that if I hear a piece of music in a movie or a TV show, a cartoon, whatever it is, I then, if I like it enough, I then want to hear it out of the context that it's in, because I want to hear it by itself. And that's the greatest thing about film scores and TV scores and cartoon scores and movie scores and all this and all that and everything else, is because you get to hear the music outside of the thing. And especially with Batman Beyond, I did not remember a lot of the music from these. I mean, I remember the music, but I don't remember, like, specifically, like, hearing the music from Lost Soul outside of that episode is like, oh, wow, that's right. Holy crap, this is creepy stuff. Old man wants to get in the Batman Beyond suit and then replace his nephew. Give me a break. GFG and Mike on the editing station here. Before anyone comes after me, Vance and his grandson, not nephew. I misspoke. It was his grandson. Now back to the show. It was a good plot. I'm not saying it's a bad plot, but yikes, that's a little scary.
Definitely room for some creepiness on our part, so it's fun to kind of plus the creepiness if we can doing writing the music we do.
Yeah,
I mean, Mike, I think you've really hit on something that makes me very passionate about writing film music, is that you are inspired by the show that you see and the movie that you watch and the story that you experience. and it's very gratifying to create the music that helps tell that story, then, you know, when you take that music away, the best crafted film music out there will evoke those feelings and those pictures and those images in your mind. And so I think that's the most wonderful thing about this process for me personally is doing it. So the fact that you could hear the music and then see the episode in your head means that the composers did their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Christopher, your track VR Room Brawl, I think that is from, what is that from?
Hooked Up.
That's from Hooked Up. Yeah, that's right. That's like, I was like, oh, right. They did have that, didn't they? And I listened to that I'm like, man, this really works.
That was an interesting track. You know, as Alita was saying, we were blessed to have such amazing musicians playing the guitar and all the different instruments. We also had oftentimes electric bass. That electric bass track is a bass player named John Button, as in cute as a. And he is just a phenomenal monster bass player who I've known since college. We were roommates together. And I said, you know what, for this cue, I want to put you to work. You know, show me some of this great popping and slapping stuff that I know you love doing. And he just went to town on it.
That's amazing. That's awesome. And then there's always, I don't know how the picking of straws happened with who was going to, I don't know how the higher ups, Bruce, Tim, all of them said, hey, you guys do this, this, and this, or if it was your all's decision to do which episode as far as scoring it. But Michael, how did you get Terry's Friend Dates a Robot? Because Girlfriends from Hell parts 1 and 2. Oh my God, dude, what did you do?
Well, you know, it's funny. At the time, Shirley Walker was the supervising composer for the series. And so we didn't have any idea what episode we were going to do or if we were going to do an episode, because she did as many as she wanted to do. And then the rest of it, she divvied up between us.
Right.
So, you know, I would get a fax. I remember in the years when we had these huge fax machines, we had big format ones for music paper that were 11 inches wide. And a fax would come rolling out, and it would usually have the information if she wanted me to do another episode. And I'm sure I got this fax that said, you know, here's your next episode, Terry's Friend Dates a Robot. I was just like, what? So, yeah. And when I saw the episode, okay, I'm just going to mm-hmm. say this, because I mean, I'm a very proud nerd. And when I saw that episode, I'm like, I know this guy. I know who he is. I know what he's all about. I know where he came from and where he's going. And so I thought it was like a perfect assignment, right? Because I mean, I'm like super nerd. So anyway, I pretty much got it from day one. And thankfully, the producer was into what I was doing, because what I was doing was really strange. But he got it too, so maybe he's a little bit of a nerd too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, it works. And I've mentioned already that Lolita's score on Lost Soul is... I'm going to go into my favorite tracks from each of you later, but that score, Lolita, that was wow. Because you, like I said before, you and I didn't say this to disparage the episode. I love the episode, but the story is basic where... old rich guy voiced by Stacy Keach, who was Mr. American Greed before he passed. I think he's no longer with us, if I remember. Yeah, he passed away a couple of years ago. Anyway, you've got him as this old man, Robert Vance, who wants to basically live on forever through his basically replace his grandson's memory. Like, oh boy, body swapping and switching and everything else. How did the music come for this?
I have no idea, Mike. That's honest. You know, I it's so long ago. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. So in all honesty, no. I mean, I could give you some really cool, like, made up answer. But it's really, you know, with the amount of music that we've written over the years. I mean, I'll speak for me. When I'm in that moment, you know, I'm totally in the moment. But it's like. You know, I don't know, like, it's almost like, and I don't know how much you travel, but it's like if I return to a certain, you don't, well,
no,
I love to travel. And let's say if I go to the same place and I've gone there like maybe 5 times in my life, I don't remember which time I saw which specific thing and what, you know. Michael, on the other hand, his memory, he can remember. But I will say that, you know, it was I was still very much just intrigued with like experimenting with different sounds and you know, we had definitely, you know, we'd taken out this huge loan when Batman Beyond started. I mean, this is, you know, before season one, because of course we switched from having this, you know, orchestra, you know, paid for by Warner Brothers to all having to, you know, doing this big production with with all these different, you know, with all these, you know, electronic sounds and guitars and, you know, effects pedals on the guitars. And I was doing a lot of listening and I was learning a lot from Chris, especially because of all of his work, you know, playing in bands and stuff. And of course, Michael as well. And so I just, anytime I found something interesting, I thought, okay, maybe this is something cool I can incorporate at some point. So I probably took something from my musical spice rack and just added it to this episode. So thank you for the shout out, and I'll go analyze it and write a little dissertation about it.
I mean, it's just one of those things where, again, as I mentioned earlier about hearing the music outside of the episode itself, it's like I've seen that episode so many times over the last 25 years or whenever it originally released, but the show originally released 25 years ago, that I'm the type of person that if I hear something enough times, I can immediately, as soon as it comes on, I'm like, that's from that, from this era, from this, and whatever. And Lost Soul just has tracks in it where I'm like, I know it's that scene, I know it's that scene, and I know it's that scene. Meanwhile, Christopher, Terry and Batman meet Earth Mover. Now, these are two separate tracks. Terry meets Earth Mover and Batman meets Earth Mover. Earth Mover's not the best episode in season two, unfortunately, but the music is amazing. How did you go about... Because those two tracks, very different from each other, because it's Terry as himself outside the Batsuit meeting the Earth Mover character, and then it's Batman. How did the juxtaposition of those two happen?
I want to say that I understand your feeling about the episode. The episode actually touched something in me emotionally very much, and I don't know what it was. I found it so incredibly tragic. I was really moved to find out, you know, Earth Mover is this trapped, lost soul underground, and how it was just so. I was just very moved by the tragicness of the story, and that being really moved in that way really influenced the way that I approached the whole score. I think with my naming conventions, when I name the cues, I'm not doing some kind of a groaner, of a pun on something, because I do plenty of those in my titles. I do sometimes make a connection of this person does this, and this person does this, and this person does this, even if the show isn't really constructed that way. So I don't think that these cues, apart from their names, are really related. But I just know that the overall episode was very angry and very angsty. Yeah. And so that colored every single cue based on who was in the situation, who was the focus of the scene. And that's why, you know, they're titled that way. But apart from that, there wasn't really, you know, a connection.
See, I thought there was, because again, you have Terry McGinnis outside the bat suit just as himself meeting the character for the first time. And then you have him coming back and meeting it as Batman, as it is said in the other episode in Lost Soul. Just because the suit is out of commission, Batman isn't out of commission.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole idea of who is Batman and is he more than just the suit is asked quite a lot in this series, just because the suit is just so amazing and all the technology, and you know. But I guess, like Lolita will say, I think there probably is some kind of deep musicological connection that I would like to expand upon, but I'm unable right now. So we'll just have to go with it.
You know, it is what it is. And then for me, what always catches me in these cartoons, and these are the things, and I'm glad that you all, you know, doing it the way you're doing it now, and the way that it was done in the past with releasing the physical releases with La La Land Records and all that stuff, when you all were working with them, I love any time a specific separate cue shows up. So the video game source cues, Michael. Thank you. And the news source cue, Lolita, from Lost Soul, because I love those little things, because it doesn't need to be a big sweeping moment. It can be something as so subtle as whatever it is. And it's just like, hey, I remember that. Or, oh, hey, that's cool. That's awesome. So the mixture in of the source, I love source music because it is so fun at times. So do each of you, we will start with Christopher. What is each of your all's favorite track from Volume 2?
Oh, I wish I could have come. We could come back to me.
All right. Well, you can pass. Lolita, what about you?
Mike can go first.
Yeah, I think we're gonna hum and ha this around.
I'm out of options.
It's Mike, your turn to hum and ha, and by that point, I'll have it figured out.
No, I know I have a favorite track. So my favorite track from this group of cues, and I'm only gonna say favorite because I think it's a really good listen, is Desplicing and Taxidermy Part 2.
Yes.
My second favorite track is Girlfriend from Hell Part 2. But there's just, I think Desplicing and Taxidermy, yeah. Like if you don't know the show and you don't know the score and you're coming to this fresh, you could listen to that one track and it would, you know, it would set you up. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it. And it's something that I feel like it could be something that could be, you know, it doesn't have to be from a show. It could just be, you know, an instrumental on its own and it would be viable. So I mean, I don't know. Desplicing and Taxidermy Part 2 was, I thought it really, really kind of set the whole soundtrack up pretty well.
Absolutely. And then Girlfriend from Hell Part 2. That robot, well, that's, man.
Ooh. The title says it all.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
She was a mess.
She was.
You don't want that. You don't want that girlfriend. You don't want
no. That's no.
You think you do, but you don't.
No. Not when the green eyes of jealousy come out just because you said hello to somebody. Yikes.
Yeah. So those sparks are not sparks of love.
No.
I have to narrow it down to three and maybe two, but my favorite action-y kind of cue happens to be VR Room Brawl from Hooked Up, just because I really love the bass line from that. And it's just such a fun, cool groove as a piece of music. And I just really enjoyed that track a lot. The in Mind Games, Batman versus Albino was a whole thing that actually Bruce Timm was put a lot of emphasis on. He really wanted something very epic and very he wanted this combination of epic and ancient and action-y. So I thought that was kind of a unique opportunity to write something interesting for the music. And the last part, just from an emotional spot, just again, because I was so taken of the episode story, just Earth Mover Defeated in general, just that whole sad part. There's a children's choir, and there's just a lot of emotion that meant a lot to me as a creative person. I was pouring into that score. So those, you know, Earth Mover Defeated is definitely the most, my favorite from an emotional place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my turn.
She says reluctantly.
I'm actually going to go with, not me. I'm going to go with two tracks. I love the groove that Chris created for Earth Mover Up in the Air thing when he's up. Mm-hmm. I can't sing it, but Earth Mover Airborne. And then there's this cue, and I don't know which episode it's in, but it's called Penthouse something, yep. Something that Mike did, which is like, it's kind of boop, boop. Anyway, it's a I love when my teammates like surprise me and just again like I use the concept of plussing it, you know.
Yeah, so, Penthouse is from Bloodsport.
Yeah, very very cool. So
yep. Ew, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, Batman Beyond is in my blood. And once I saw the track list, I'm like, okay, I have to go down by all 98 tracks. I have to make sure I'm correct in saying that these are the episodes that these songs are from. And literally, I have a list right here of the I don't know, 10 episodes. Yeah, 10 episodes in volume two so far. So yeah, 10 episodes for volume two, 98 tracks. And yeah, that, yeah, the penthouse thing was, it's the beginning of that episode. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know there's a new character in town, the stalker character. And again, it's that subtlety of that track that opens that episode.
Well, I hope you have our handy dandy guide that tells you what the tracks are and what episodes they're from.
I was literally saying the same thing. One of the problems of digital releases, of course, is there's not this cool booklet like you would have if you bought a CD. Mm-hmm. But we have a printed list of the episodes and the track breakdowns and what episode each track is from that is available to all your listeners if they have not signed up yet to our DMP VIP mailing list. So we'll be sure, if you go to our website, you can find a link to sign up for it, and you will get this sent to your email box, a PDF that you can print out to have your own list to refer to as well.
Mm-hmm. There you go, folks. Yeah, go over to their website. Their link to their website will be in the show notes for this episode on geekastradio.com. I did it the old-fashioned way. I have the episode list from the Blu-ray, and then I just did the math. And I don't like doing amazing math. So my favorite tracks from each of you, and I kind of cheated because on Chris, like I said, I had to put Terry and Batman Meet Earth Mover together because to me, they just kind of flow together. So technically, Chris gets two tracks. I guess I could pick two for everybody else as well. But Michael, going back to Terry's Friend Dates a Robot, the party's over.
Oh.
Again, it's the... I do love the big action, like I already mentioned about VR Room Brawl. Like, I do love the big, but in this show, with as much action as this show is, finding those subtle moments in the show and in the music is really what gets me. And The Party's Over just has that, okay, folks, you can go home now. Nothing more to see here.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, it's an action adventure show, and when there's mm-hmm. a cue that's not action or adventure, mm-hmm. it's always nice to do something different. And I always felt like those cues that were not action cues or adventure cues or have anything to do with, you know, fighting or anything like that, I thought those cues were always really special. So I always kind of try to treat them with TLC. So I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another Michael Q that I will say, actually, let's see here. Barbara finding the teacher and Max on Max or Maxoid from Zeta. Because these episodes don't have, like, we know, most of us know that this show is the passing of the torch. It's Bruce Wayne giving the mantle over to Terry McGinnis. It doesn't really have a lot. And this selection of episodes, Barbara Gordon is not in a lot of them. And she was in that, in mm-hmm. that section. And I just love the way you did the music for that.
Well, thank you. She's a great character.
Yes, she is. And then for Lolita, it's Max Downloads for Terry and Ending. So Max Downloads for Terry is from, I think I would know this by now.
Once Burned.
Yeah. Once Burned, that's right, yeah. So Once Burned, that was the Royal Flush Gang episode, and she has to cover for him and all that, and I just absolutely love, and again, you know, people will say, oh, Max skips and she was a sidekick. She was a little more than that. Come on, people. They had to do something with this show. They couldn't just throw in Robin Beyond and Riddler Beyond and whatever.
I never thought about that.
The music with the whole Royal Flush, it seemed like it was to me kind of a lot of like swimmy kind of sexy mm-hmm. swimmy kind of music, which kind of was fun. A lot of scooping and.
Yep.
Yeah. And then interestingly though, ending is an oops, actually. Should be on the first volume.
Really?
Yes. And I didn't, it was left off of some official, even legal documents that track the music for, you know, for where it's played and how it's played. And so it wasn't in our, it wasn't in my, I wasn't even thinking of it. I was just going by actually, you know, these sheets that, you know, like, oh, this is this cue from this episode. And our secret wonderful helper actually said, you know, this, you know, you, this piece is missing, you know, where is the piece? So, you know, it's like, I don't know, Michael, if our source would want to be revealed, but anyway.
No. I don't, please don't.
Not.
Don't. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, so it's and it's actually, yeah, I mean, I it is a really good piece, if I do so say so myself, but it's one of those that it was like, I mean, I can't believe I forgot to put it on there because I was just going in on autopilot. So we have it on volume two.
So
I want you to know that even though it wasn't on volume one, I remembered that piece from all those years ago, and I remember hearing that piece. I don't know if it was when you were scoring it or mixing it, but I actually remember the tune and could sing the tune. And so when we discovered that it was missing, it was like, well, you have to do this. You have to do this. It's that good. It must be there. So I'm really glad that it's on there. Yeah, it's a great piece, Alita.
So originally it was, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, originally it was supposed to come between Data Disc, Batman Warrens, and Batman Visits Paxton by you, Lolita, and then it was supposed to be between that and the end theme by Christopher, correct?
It's close to the end of the show.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Again, it's one of those things where it's here on Volume 2, and that's what makes Volume 2 such a different animal than Volume 1, where it brings you right into the show. It's kind of like how cartoons changed over the years. In the 80s, cartoons, and Michael will probably connect with me a little bit more on this than you guys will, but and you guys maybe too, but cartoons in the 80s, you started with the theme song. You started with that opening. You watch He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. It's da 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 da. I'm going to punch you in the face, blah, 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 blah. Well, somewhere between, I want to say, 2000 to now, some cartoons have changed to where they do a little intro clip. This Batman Beyond didn't do this, I don't think, for as far as I remember. But some cartoons now will do this intro clip where they'll have like a minute and a half, 2 minute scene or whatever. Sometimes it's longer depending on where what you're watching. And then they'll throw in the opening title sequence, whatever it is. So I think that's cool between volume one and volume two that you all have found a way to just get right into the show with the first track, Chelsea Gets Spliced / Bruce Covier comments, and then ending it with endings. Or with ending, I should say, no S. So that's interesting. That's awesome. And that offers a different way to hear the music.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So I asked before, and I'm going to ask again, because I want to know, when will Volume 3 be in our ears and what's going to be on it?
Life is a mystery, Mike, isn't it? You know, we never know. We have to react to what's happening in the world. We have to react to see how many people are interested in Volume 2 as well. So, you know, it's like if we have enough people, you know, going out there and streaming this or those who can afford it, you know, down buying it, you know, I think things might move faster. I mean, we don't really know, but we want to get it all out there for sure.
I know you all do. And the other thing that occurred to me before doing the interview today is that next year is the, oh God, this hurts my head. It's the 25th anniversary of Return of the Joker, and that has only ever had one CD release from years ago.
Yeah.
So is that in the plans? I'm not asking when, but I am assuming that's in the plans at some point down the line, right?
It's definitely on the table. Okay. We don't have anything contemplated of where that would fit in the release strategy. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely, you know, Batman Beyond had a CD release. The series had a CD release.
Yep. Yeah.
We're just thrilled that the two volumes we've released so far have been able to add so much more dimension and so much more complete, you know, record of the music from the show. So yeah, you know, there's these movies that were associated with the series. I know all of them we would love to see more complete updated releases to, for sure.
Yeah, complete release is the best release, honestly, because those 14 tracks, I think I just looked at it. I just looked at it. 14 tracks. That's not enough. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. 14 tracks, just not enough.
Well, we have set the bar kind of high with like 99 tracks. And
you'd think, yeah, like, you know. But hey, absolutely love it. And yes, folks, go check out on whatever music streaming service you use, whether you're streaming it, whether you're purchasing it on iTunes. Yes, iTunes is still a thing. I will forever say that until Apple kills it. But iTunes is still a thing. You can still purchase music on iTunes, which
Amazon as well.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a single, Mike, we have a single link that actually will take you, you know, offer you a menu mm-hmm. of all the different places you can both stream and purchase it. And we'll be sure that to give that to you so you can have it on the show notes on the
absolutely. Link
as well. So we'll be sure to get that to you.
Sounds good. All right, before we go, is there anything else that any of you all would like to say?
I just want to say that I am, you know, we're just thrilled that people are listening to the albums. It does make a difference. It definitely does help. You know, the numbers do help move ahead with the other ones that we're contemplating. And so all the support means the world to us for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the fan support all these years. And then the new fans, people that just discover the show just, you know, this year. And I think that show holds up so well, and I just think the work on it from all, you know, all the writers, producers, et cetera, there, it's just so outstanding. So it's just, you know, to be able to be part of that legacy and to have new people discover it is just it means the world to us, absolutely. So thank you all, and thank you, Mike, for being such a supporter of our work all these years, and for, you know, having us on once in a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to second that. Thanks so much, Mike, because we don't really have any formal marketing campaign, and, you know, we're not some big record company that has a department that has outreach and everything like that. And just what you do to help get the word out about our music, and what the fans do among themselves to get the word out and to bring new people in, is really, really valuable to us. And we really, really appreciate it. So thanks so much for all the support from you and from the others who've interviewed us, and from all the fans who continue to spread the good word.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, like I've mentioned, all the music is great. It's amazing. Some of the music, it's great. It's amazing. But we really want it all. Give it all to us. Like, we want everything. I don't remember if I've written up a specific... I know I've written up several. I got to fix that image. I don't remember if I wrote up a specific soundtrack blog entry for this. But I will be writing up one for Volume 2. I think I wrote one up for Volume 1. I don't remember. I usually do that. Usually I have it done before the interview. But I don't know if I did that this last time with Volume 1. So anyway, that's going to do it for us here on Geekcast Radio, Legends of the Dark Knight, all that good stuff. Coming up next, I have no idea what's going on. All as I know is I got to go back in and recheck this Batman Beyond music stuff and make sure I've written stuff up and everything else. So for now, I have been TF2 and Mike with...
Christopher Carter.
Lolita Romanis.
And Michael McQuestion.
Unleash the Geek in You, and we will catch you next time here on Geekcast Radio Network.
April. And there's the moon in the background. Like that old song, April Moon?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
The voice kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, that's not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself? Oh, yeah. I suppose you would.
But that's my name now.
Tell that to my subconscious.
You've just just heard a podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. If you enjoyed this discussion, head over to geekcastradio.com to check out this episode's post for more insights and links. Interact with the show, feedback at geekcastradio.com, or interact with us on X at Geekcast Radio and on Facebook at Geekcast Radio Network. Don't forget to subscribe to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts on your favorite podcatcher. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.